Blog Talk Radio.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Coming now, buddy. We on our hearts all day long. Let's just kick this ball all day long.
Pick it up. Don't stop. Pick it up. Let's go.
Pro football is a mirror of early America, reflecting toughness, courage, and self-denial.
There he is! Oh! Oh! Good job! Good job! That's the way to make a play out there, buddy. Nice job. Over, Pirate 2, ready. 45, blast!
Yes, we're three!
45,
blast! Keep on playing at this level now, huh? Keep it up, baby. Keep it up.
We're going to be here all day, baby!
The game is wide open, not confined. X's and O's on a blackboard are translated into imagination on the field. It can be one man rising above the obscurity of the grim, no-glory duty of special teams. It is a lineman clawing through the carnage at the scrimmage line and devouring the quarterback.
Brown right, box two, run on set, ready?
The game is perpetual motion. A swirl of flying bodies in constant collision. A 2.5 hour carnival of color, sound, and action.
I got a little something for you.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life. And there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife. But now's the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit and challenges the brain.
Come on, let's go.
Yeah, I'd like to have 75 degrees and sunny all the time too, but that's not football.
Do you fear the force of the wind, the slash of the rain?
We're going to play it soon, light and rain.
Go face them and fight them. Be savage again.
The pilot lights out.
This football team is coming into our place. We're standing in our way.
This is a game of the heart, focus, and betting.
A time for achievement. A time for purpose. A time for glory.
You gotta love it. Welcome into the fastest 60 minutes in sports. I'm your host, Vinny Moore. Welcome to the beginning of season two. And I gotta tell you right here, right now, we had all this wonderful, great stuff planned to come on, hit you with really hard as we got the fastest 60 minutes in sports going for season two as we get into football. Football is back! You gotta love that. You gotta love it. Football's back. Baseball is winding down. Golf is an absolute whirlwind. What is wrong with Tiger Woods? And let us not forget Carlos Zambrano. Awkward pause. Mr. Zambrano, I love you, man. You are a great humanitarian. You are a giving brother left and right. Maybe it's just time to hang it up. Yeah, you know, that's all I'm going to say. It's just time. I don't know what else to say. I mean, the Cubs have dealt with Carlos and his antics for a hot while now. It's just time to say, yeah, done, move on. If the Yankees don't want you and the Cubs are about to eat a whole lot of salary to make that happen, you know, maybe it's just not happening. Anyway, 10:05 on a Sunday morning, 619-639-4747, 619-639-4747. I almost want to get ghetto with that. It was 619-639-4747. Anyway, the fastest 60 minutes of sports gets rocking and rolling. We're going to have a ton of fun throughout this NFL season, a ton of fun throughout college basketball, a ton of fun through the NHL season, anything involving sports. I mean, tennis, hockey, golf, whatever it is, you want to talk about it, hit me up, 619-639-4747. We are the pregame before the NFL pregame show, so look for fun things. We're going to have promos left and right. We're looking, obviously, at all kinds of wonderful sponsorship hitting us up, whether it's our guys and our friends from ESPN, our friends from Baker's Pizza, our friends from Pepsi. These are some free shameless plugs for you guys right now at 10:06 on your Sunday morning. In the meantime, I'm looking down the history of all the wonderful stuff that we've done, all the way going back to last year's football season, back to the NFC Championship game with the Bears, the Packers, and just some fun stuff. You know, and I ended last season really kind of telling everybody about, you know, how much pride I had of being the dad of a young man who's in the armed forces. I got to tell you, that has not changed one iota. I am still as chested out and proud of my son as I possibly could be. So for those of you who thought that, you know, because of whatever's going on in the world today, that I would suddenly be changing my view, not going to happen.
Oh, crap.
In the meantime, we rock and roll and we move on to what we hope is going to be a phenomenal season. If you're a homer for a special team, if you're a homer for any team, your hometown team, where, regardless of where you live in this nation, I want to hear about it. 619-639-4747. Now, you know my rule. Whether you call or not, I look at the 15,000 people that play this thing back as they get ready for their fantasy seasons. We're going to talk about fantasy, but not tonight because we've only gotten through week one, guys, of the preseason. So I don't know what you gleaned from the preseason. I don't know if you got something strong from the preseason, if you thought it was something really, really, you know, unique or special. I don't know. I mean, some teams look like, you know, those first teams are in midseason form. Obviously, the Eagles look really, really good. Take it for what it's worth. Michael Vick is Michael Vick. He looks great. He's ready to rock and roll. Vince Young is his backup now in Philadelphia. He's called himself the Dream Team. Everyone kind of ran with that. But that's why you play the game on the field. You know, I'm sure there are teams in Pittsburgh that may not share that same sentiment. There are certainly a team in Chicago that went to the NFC Championship game that feels a little bit disrespected. The Green Bay Packers, the Super Bowl champs, certainly may have something to say about that. So I don't know if I would be touting myself as the Dream Team just yet. Did the Eagles do great things? Absolutely. They got stronger. They got faster. They got some depth. But I'll tell you who actually got depth. And again, you all know me. I'm a Chicago guy. I'm a Chicago homer. Okay, but look at the Bears' defensive line. That's depth. Okay. That is depth. Marcus Harrison, 11 pounds overweight. He'll get that together. You know, Rod Marinelli likes the guy. You know, that's coming down now. I don't know if he's going to make the cut because they got a whole lot of depth there. Moby Okoye last night against Buffalo looked like he was in midseason form. I did not know how ripped and how cut that guy was. But the Bears have gone out and gotten about four or five first-round draft picks from a couple of years ago and just plug those guys in, you know, with the exception of Chris Spencer, who, you know, largely has been considered a bust in Seattle for whatever the reason. He's been slow to grab Mike Marks' system out there in Bourbon A. But, you know, again, we're not sure if Roberto Garza is going to be the guy starting. And you know me. I can talk about talk your ears off about the Bears until we're both blue in the face. But that's not what we're here for. This is really about sports, about you. So our first topic for tonight is actually not going to be about the Bears because, again, we can go forever on that. It is actually going to be about Carlos Zambrano and what's going on there with the Cubs, a team that has basically been out of it since the season started largely. Again, I don't know what to make of the whole situation where the man goes, well, first of all, you give up five home runs. That never ever helps. You give up five home runs, then you start throwing at the guy that hit the home run. Now, they didn't do anything wrong, okay? They didn't do anything wrong. They simply hit your best pitch. They just happened to hit it five times out of the yard, okay? So you get subsequently ejected after throwing at Chipper Jones in a game you're going to lose 10-4 to the Braves on Friday night. Then you clean out your locker, all right? And then as you leave, you inform the people in the Cubs clubhouse that you're going to retire. Then you take your nameplate with you. No one knows where you are. Mike Quad doesn't know where you are. And by the time the media gets down to Mike Quaddy, well, there's not much else to talk about because you're nowhere to be found, and you've already told people that you're retiring. Quaddy comes out and says, I figured he just had enough. You know, and for what it's worth, I love Mike Quaddy. You know, he goes out and says, I had too much respect for the rest of the guys in the room to worry. it's on him now. And that's right. He's absolutely right. It's whatever Carlos wants to do, whatever he's going to do. I guess he's made up his mind because he didn't stick around and tell anybody about it. So, again, of course, this is the drill with Carlos Zambrano. He doesn't know any better. After a bad afternoon or an evening at the office, he'll always lead to some degree of melodrama. Unfortunately, his antics Friday night reached a whole different level with the Chicago Cubs because they suspended the guy for 30 days. He has no contact with the team for 30 days. This may be a death sentence to Carlos Zambrano within relationship with the Chicago Cubs. So, anyway, I don't know if this is the first time he's actually walked out on his team and his players, but something like this has always been one of those things that it's hard to forgive for other players. In fact, Jim Henry went on record about an hour after the game and actually gave us some tidbits about Carlos Zambrano, basically calling it a bluff, paralleling it to when Sammy Sosa did the same thing. The difference is at a time when Sammy Sosa was beloved, Carlos Zambrano is a bit of an enigma. Again, and he won 9 games. It's not like the guy can't pitch. The guy can pitch really, really well. Unfortunately, for winning 9 games and pitching very, very well, actually from the second half of last year all the way through the beginning of this year, the sad thing is it just takes one game. One game. Rick Sutcliffe probably said it best. You have to learn how to pitch as you simply get older. Carlos is not going to blow anyone away with a 96, 97 mile an hour fastball anymore. He's not that same guy anymore, and he's got to learn that. And unfortunately, he may be learning just a little bit too late. Anyway, the Cubs will move on, and again, they have played better in the second half of the season. I think they're like 15-13 in the second half of the season. Not a bad for a team that's 16 games, roughly 16, 17 games out of first place, and looking at a whole bunch of young talent looking to do something next year. So I don't know what else to tell you about Carlos Zambrano, except that whole scenario is just really, really disappointing. And for a guy who really, really should have been something really, really special in the annals of Cubdom and Cub baseball. So if you have concepts or thoughts on that, again, 619-639-4747 is the number. Looking forward to hearing from any and everyone regarding whatever your sports topic is for the day. In the meantime, I have to remind myself.
You are spectacular.
Yes, thank you very much. Sometimes you need that, guys. I'm sorry. Sometimes you need that. I look back now on some of the wonderful things that have gone on in other sports outside of baseball. And actually, Outside the Lines does a great job of looking into the lives of a lot of things. But today, let's get away from baseball. Because we can talk about the success of the Yankees and the Red Sox, and that's almost common nowadays. We can talk about Detroit resurgence and them at least leading in the American League Central. You can talk about the Rangers, the Angels, and their historic successes. But then you come to the National League West, and you see a team like the Arizona Diamondbacks, who really are a bit of an enigma because you just don't know which version you're going to get. But all of a sudden, you look up, and the Giants are sitting there. So Arizona Diamondbacks in first place. How does this happen? Well, even though I don't think they'll survive, I think the Giants will ultimately win that division. It is fun to see other squads at least raise up. For a point in the National League Central, you saw Pittsburgh at the top, and then all of a sudden the bottom fell out, and they lost 7-8 straight, getting swept by the lowly Cubs. And next thing you know, they're 10 games out of first and basically an afterthought in the National League Central. And then you've got the Phillies in the National League East doing what they've done now for the last – they are becoming that model franchise, much like we have the Patriots in the NFL. The Phillies are becoming the model fan franchise. Again, the Yankees get all the accolades because they spend all the money. But a model franchise that manages itself well, puts the best talent on the field. You got to look at the Philadelphia Phillies right now, and it would not surprise me if you saw the Phillies and the Yankees getting it on in the Fall Classic this year. It just that's just one man's opinion, obviously, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm telling you, that is something that could obviously go seriously, seriously. Again, if you're a fan of the sport, you got to love that. You've got to love that. You've got to love that. In the meantime, we're going to take a break. I'm going to play something. I'm going to do something for you. What am I going to do? No. Looking down the list, there's nothing I really want to do for you. I don't want to take you back to Vin Pix, something like that. Let's see. It's a brand new. I love the guy. This is kind of awesome. This is a brand new, but there's way too many choices for a fool like myself to pick from. So, geez, I get a little confused, man. There's just so much here. Geez, I don't know what to do. I'm confused. Yeah, let's play a promo.
I think we're in a computer game, man.
What makes you say that?
So, I don't know. The bartender speaks nothing but gibberish. And we've been drinking these same beers all night, and they're still full.
Yeah, that's awesome. Build your dream bar at ESPNSportsBar.com.
I think we're in a computer game, man.
What makes you say that?
Oh, I don't know. The bartender speaks nothing but gibberish. And we've been drinking these same beers all night, and they're still full.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Build your dream bar at ESPNSportsBar.com.
And now, you contemptible harpy, I shall end your oppressive reign of matriarchal tyranny.
Gotta love that. Welcome back. The Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports is back. 10:16 on your Sunday morning, the pregame show before the pregame show. All through the fall, all as we get you ready for not only your NFL season, but all the wonderful happenings in the world. And I got to give some love to NASCAR because I have not done that yet, and I apologize. Brad Keselowski, good job. Jimmy Johnson, Kurt Busch, not so much. Come on, guys. It's an auto race. I know there's a lot of money in the line, a lot of tempers are, a lot of tensions going on, but you know, we'd rather watch the race and see the rubbing and the real skill set that's out there than any personal pissy party you guys are going at. That's not a good look. So for those of you in NASCAR and NASCAR fans, 619-639-4747, every Sunday morning between 10 and 11 o'clock, the pregame show before the pregame show. Here we are, baby. Hit me up. In the meantime, for those of you who are going to play this back, you're probably going to want to get into the next topic. Okay, you're probably going to want to get into this. I was trying to find where the best place to place or plug in the idea of the NFL and how much time to spend on and everything else. And everyone wants to basically say, hey, look, you know, spend 15 minutes, you know, do four segments and talk about, you know, things of the day. Here's the problem. It's football season. It's football season. And whether you're high school, whether you're college, whether you're youth football, you're excited because the fall is here. Camps are going. If you haven't been around the Chicago market, for those of you in the Chicago market, just look at all the youth football programs that have been out there in camps and what you see from these children and these kids and the next generation of talented young people coming up through the ranks. If you're a high school coach, you're geeked right now. You haven't seen anything so treacherous that says, you know, my season's not going to be of value. You're going in there with your eyes wide open thinking that this could be the season. Some of you high schools are looking at state championships. This could be something special. Let's give a little love to college football as well. Some changes obviously going on there with Texas A&M now looking at joining the SEC. What does it mean for the Big 12? You know, that's always going to be now. It's starting to become a black eye, I guess, because teams are leaving the Big 12 like, you know, water running down a faucet. Nebraska's part of the Big 10 now. That's going to be exciting for them. And let's face it, it's all about money. It's all about money. And it's just a shame because, you know, the Big 12 once upon a time was fun and it meant something. And now, you know, if colleges have their way, you may see that Big 12 become the Big 8. And it's just sad. It's just sad in every facet of the game because it's all about money. And if it weren't for the money, obviously, you know, again, and keep in mind, football fuels a lot of extra programs. It fuels your softballs and your volleyballs and programs that, you know, might not be able to generate, obviously, any revenue. So, what are you going to say? They obviously have to do what they think is in the best interest of their organization. And, again, you got to do it. But let's go to college football. Let's do some preseason 25 rankings, okay? But I'm gonna flip the script on you. We're not going to do top 25 football. We're going to do top 25 college cheerleading squads. I got you. That's right. Top 25 cheerleading squads. You're not ready for this, are you? I can tell you're not ready for this. You are not ready for this at all. Okay, maybe I'm wrong for doing that. We're not going to do that. You want to do that? No, let's not do that. Yeah? You sure? No, come on. All right, fine. All right, let's run down them, just for the sake of argument. Number one. Now, do we want to do number one first? That seems a bit odd. I'll tell you what, let's save some time here. Instead of doing the top 25 cheerleading squads across the country in college football, let's just do the top 10. I like you guys too much to inundate you with too much stuff that really has nothing to do with that. I'll tell you this. Outside the top 10, Florida State, Cal, and Oklahoma did not make the top 10. So what's that tell you? Okay. What does that tell you? Okay, what's going on with your list? Because it's going the wrong way. That's kind of funny. That's actually funny. You're going to force me to do the 25, aren't you? Oh, my God. That's scary. That is scary. 25 is Notre Dame. That is hilarious. 25 is Notre Dame. Your screen is really wagging out. That's kind of funny. All right, this is going to wind up being a waste of some time in people's lives when they play this back. I apologize to my fans. Oh, you should be shot right now. This is bad. This is bad. How about we just say we didn't don't? I'll tell you this. Number one this year was not USC. USC wound up being number four. The number one cheerleading squad, according to, I guess, men 18 to 35, Anglo-Saxon males across the country, rests in Oregon. And I'll tell you something. I've been out to Oregon, and that's probably pretty doggone accurate. All right, so something to think about as you move forward. It's 10:21. We got 9 more minutes in a segment that was supposed to be a lot more about college football than about the cheerleaders. Ah, proof positive that personality can save a segment. Anyway, I love you guys, and as always, there's nothing you can do about it. The fast 60 minutes in sports is on and rolling. Anyway, let's get to some college football and show you some real love. And stop playing with some of these things. The 2011 NCAA college football polls are out. Preseason number one is Oklahoma. But let's run down the whole list and see how you feel about it. Number 25 going in before we even snap a ball for the regular season is Penn State. Number 24 this year is the Texas Longhorns. 23 is Florida. There's a fall from grace. 22, the Georgia Bulldogs. 21, the Mizzou Tigers. Number 20, Mississippi State. Number 19, Auburn minus Cam Newton. 18 is Notre Dame. 17, Michigan State. Uniquely enough, 16 is Ohio State. They still get some love despite all the problems they've had. 15 is TCU. 14 is Arkansas. 13 is Virginia Tech. Number 12, South Carolina. Number 11, Nebraska. Number 10, the Badgers of Wisconsin. Number 9, the soon-to-be-defecting Texas A&M. Number 8, the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Number 7, Boise State. Number 6, Stanford. Number 5 is Florida State. Number 4 is LSU, and this is where we start getting some first-place votes because some people love LSU. Number 3, Oregon. And number 2, Alabama. And number 1 this year in the preseason polls is Oklahoma. So some people do seem to be wrapping their heads pretty well around the idea that Oklahoma is going to be really, really good. Again, injuries are obviously the X factor, so if they can stay healthy, they can be something special. All right, 10:23, I got 7 minutes more to kill in a segment. Let's talk a little bit about some golf going on here, just because we can. Ooh, or maybe not. Man, what is going on? Oh, this is funny. Okay, do you want to go back to baseball? No, you don't go back to baseball. No. You want to talk golf. You want to talk PGA. You want to talk PGA. And that there's nothing in front of me that has anything to do with PGA. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Well, I'll put it this way. There's no Tiger on Sunday. And maybe that's a problem for some of you, but there is no Tiger. Okay. However, the leaderboard is chock full of Americans across the board, so I guess that's a good thing. Go figure that. Brendan Steele and Jason Duffner share a third round lead, 7 under at the current PGA Championship. So don't look now, but the leaderboard is filled with a rare sight of a major championship American flags and lots of them. And what's become a source of snickering on the other side of the pool and grudging consternation over here, Americans are in the midst of their longest drought in major championship dating all the way back to the Masters. Brendan Steele and Jason Duffner, the 54-hole leaders at the 93rd PGA Championship, will try to change that today. So will Keegan Bradley, Scott Verplank, and Steve Stricker. Not exactly golf's version of Murderer's Row, but 5 players atop the PGA Championship all do carry U.S. passports and are in an excellent position to claim this year's 4th and final major. Guess who's missing? Duh. No Tiger Woods. Only one other time in 94 had Americans gone 4 straight majors without a victory, dating back to Bobby Jones' first Augusta National Invitation back in 1934. Now at the Atlanta Athletic Club, another place with Jones' imprint, Americans have had a chance to break that annoying streak. And some who have waved the red, white, and blue, that would come as a welcome relief. The last American to win a major was Phil Mickelson back at the 2010 Masters. But aside from Stricker, who is the biggest ranked American, or sorry, the highest ranked American in the world, number 5, the other top contenders would not have been on too many shortlists as tournament favorites. Steele is playing in his first major championship, so is Bradley, who is a shot back. If either wins, they become the first player since Ben Curtis at the 2003 British Open to win a major in their first attempt. And how rare is that? Curtis was the first to do so in 90 years, since Francis Ouimet back in 1913. The U.S. Open in a playoff over Harry Vardon and Ted Ray during a time when Americans were not expected to win majors. That's your golf love for those of you who wanted to get your fill on that. So for those of you who are going to play this back before you get into anything on Sunday, there you go. 10:26 Sunday morning, the fastest 60 minutes in shorts rolls on. We've got some NBA talk. This will be obviously very, very short because they're in a lockout right now. We've also got some NHL talk, some moves going on in the National Hockey League. And, of course, I am pushing back and pushing back and pushing back on the NFL because, again, you know me. We can go forever on the National Football League. That is obviously my heart. I guess I was just raised that way as a Homer kid that grew up watching guys like Walter Payton in his prime and, you know, getting to see the Barry Sanders in his prime and even the Eddie George, the great running backs and, you know, obviously great quarterbacks of the Dan Marino and so on. But don't get me started because there's so much to the world besides the National Football League. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Thank you for joining us on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. My name is Vinny Moore. Be back after this.
I think we're in a computer game, man.
What makes you say that?
Oh, I don't know. The bartender speaks nothing but gibberish. And we've been drinking these same beers all night, and they're still full.
Yep, that's awesome.
Build your dream bar at ESPNSportsBar.com.
Ah, crap.
You are spectacular.
Oh, that's better than sex.
Welcome back to the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports, your host, Vinny Moyer. My guys back there are having way too much fun. Anyway, 31 minutes left in this rock and roll show. Here we go. Open to the public, 619-639-4747, your host, Vinny Moore. Looking forward to talking to some of you someday soon. So I know most of you guys played this back, 15,000 playbacks just in the last episode alone. So continue to support. We're looking, obviously, at the National Football League here again. It's 10:28. I can go 32 minutes on nothing more than the National Football League, if that's what you want me to do. But you all know that that's not there. There's more to this wonderful sports landscape than that. But it seems like all you ever want to talk about is the National Football League. Why am I not surprised? Why am I not surprised? Well, let's go down the headlines, okay? Let's go down. Let's see. Latest headlines from the National Football League. Open quarterback competition in San Francisco. Neither Colin Kaepernick or Alex Smith has earned the 49ers starting quarterback job. Brand new coach Jim Harbaugh might even consider bringing up another veteran. Ew, ugly and out there. Headlines. Plaxico Burress opens up about shooting, prison, and in an HBO interview. Look for that on HBO. Bears ignore the new kickoff rule, kicking from the 30 several times. That was kind of funny. The Soldier Field turf, still a bit of an issue, but it was in good shape last night. Angry kicker, Giants Lawrence Tye vents after suffering an injury. What's he got to be mad about? He's a kicker. Give me a ring. Ready to soar. The Eagles' DeSean Jackson finally gets to practice. Smith is on the PUP list, or the PUP list, it's called. Jets quarterback Brunell expected to sit after the dislocating finger. Is that the Mark Brunell? What is he, like 50? Anyway. Okung walking around after a left ankle injury. In the new Ravens, Evans receives Mason's number 85. That would be Lee Evans getting Derek Mason's old number. Tony Soprano says Henny will start after a shaky night versus the Falcons. And cornerback Asamoah. That would be Nnamdi. His heart was in Dallas. That's a fact. Okay, I'm not sure what that's about, but we'll dig into those stories as we get into a little bit more as we get into the National Football League. This is the fastest 60 minutes in sports. It is 10:30 on Sunday morning. He flew to Philadelphia, but his heart was in Dallas. How close did the free agent cornerback Nnamdi Asamoah come to signing with the Dallas Cowboys? Very close, according to Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. Not only was it close enough that Jones thought it was a done deal, he called it fact that Dallas was where Asamoah wanted to be. Ooh. We had known that he really wanted to be a Dallas Cowboy, Jones said on the Cowboys pregame show before their preseason game against Denver on Thursday via the Dallas Morning News, and that's a fact. There for about an hour, I thought he was going to be a Dallas Cowboy. You do that because you can. And should, and take advantage of these opportunities. Jones, who had not previously commented on the amount of money Cowboys were willing to pay Asamoah, added, "We obviously wanted Asamoah, or we wouldn't have been in the $10 million and up range to get him. The four-time All-Pro cornerback signed a five-year, $60 million contract with the NFC East rival, the Philadelphia Eagles, on July 29th. The Cowboys, Houston Texans, and New York Jets have been considered front-runners to obtain Asamoah before the Eagles entered into the picture. So Nnamdi goes to Philadelphia, gets $60 million, and Jerry Jones is left holding himself. Sucks to be Jerry in that regard, but I think somehow his millions will make him feel better. Also, moving on, the Packers remain NFL's best free agency future claims. All right, here we go. You'll find surprises below, but be sure, some of you will definitely feel that there are a couple of teams that are probably ranked too low here. Let me tell you about free agent spots, okay? The free agent fury is finally calming down, but for those who actually could move, people decided which spot would be the best place for you to go, okay? The best places to go. Well, let's start at the bottom. Let's go worst to first. How about that? If you are a NFL player, the worst place to go today in the NFL is the Washington Redskins. That's the 32nd ranked place to go if you're a free agent. 31, the Carolina Panthers. Now, it's not because they're going to be so bad this year. I mean, again, you've got Cam Newton. You've got Clawson, who will probably start. They re-signed D'Angelo Williams, and you got a brand new head coach, which means new coordinator as well, Carolina. But if you're looking to win now, that's not the place to be. Number 30, the Denver Broncos. I think the Johns will get this thing turned around, but with the lockout, delaying the transition to a new coaching staff, an uncertain quarterback situation, and defensive transferring from a 3-4 to 4-3, it's difficult to move the Broncos up. Not sure exactly what's going to happen with the quarterback spot. I mean, again, Kyle Orton's a pro bowler. Tebow is everyone's kind of sexy pick. Denver might reside around these parts for some time in the low end until someone can make some tough decisions. Number 29, the Cleveland Browns. I have really no idea where to put the Browns, so... Again, Colt McCoy is your starter. Peyton Hillis is going to be your back again. Was last year a fluke? I don't know. He's got the best arms in football, so hopefully it's just one of those things where he's just going to be Peyton Hillis. He's going to have a great career in Cleveland, and they're going to do some things special there. But right now, ranked 29. Number 28, the Cincinnati Bengals. Watching Andy Dalton work with Steve Mariucci during the NFL Network's draft coverage was a good TV. It's hard not to like the redhead. He should start. There's sure to be a last-second eBay bid on Carson Palmer, but no way Mike Brown budges on this one. Losing Jonathan Joseph hurt. Nate Clemens is a rich man, but a poor man's Joseph or a Leon Hall. Moving on. Number 27, the Buffalo Bills. For those of you who got to watch the Bears and Bills last night, that offensive line still stinks. Prime directed with this club getting better line play. Let's hope it improves because Ryan Fitzpatrick is more than serviceable. Signing do-it-all Brad Smith was nice, but involving C. Dishville in the offense is 10 times more important. You got to get Spiller. You got to get him involved. Number 26, the Arizona Cardinals. Putting fresh-faced Kevin Cobb to the side, who was the ace in the hole, everyone desperately wants to be Beanie Wells, particularly fantasy editor Michael Fabiano. Arizona must run the ball effectively. It will do Cobb some good. Give Fabs something to Facebook blast and give the struggling defense a rest again. I don't know if Beanie Wells is going to see the field after he tweaks his ankle. That's probably going to happen in week two somewhere, but that's just one man's opinion. Number 25, the Miami Dolphins. Before Tony Sperano goes all Tony Sperano on us and spearheads the team that features Daniel Thomas and a one-yard cloud of dust, let's see if Chad Henne's hurt feelings give him the eye of the tiger. Defensively, Jared Odrick and Koa Missi could make a young unit formidable still. Throw the ball down the field occasionally, please. Give us something to watch. Number 24, the Tennessee Titans. Matt Hasselbeck shows up in 2011. The guy who deep-sixed the league's fourth-ranked defense in the playoffs or the oft-injured inconsistent player of the last 3 years. Which one is he? Whatever the case he might be, his presence should be a good for eighth overall pick, Jake Locker, especially with a new staff in place. So, again, he's nothing more than a placeholder until Jake's ready. Number 23, the San Francisco 49ers. Well, it's going to sound odd, but Vikings coach Leslie Frazier has an advantage Jim Harbaugh does not have. He knew his guys prior to the lockout. The work stoppage had the impact on this group. What with a brand new staff and new offense, Michael Crabtree is hurt, Manny Lawson, Nate Clemens, Abreu Franklin are gone, but at least Tavares Jackson wasn't named the starter. Right? Huh? Okay. Anyway. Yeah, they got issues in the 49er-ville. Anyway, 22, the Minnesota Vikings. Shockingly, Donovan McNabb still gets mentioned publicly as much as a gubernatorial housekeeper. Why? His footwork stunk last season. He was wildly inconsistent, and he was benched for Rex Grossman of all people. Why not just let Christian Ponder play? There are so many good, proud veterans on this team that 22 seems harsh. But there it sits. Yeah, you got to feel bad for Jared Allen, Adrian Peterson. They're on a squad that has talent that will probably not get over the hump for whatever the reason. It just will not. And Donovan McNabb, I love Donovan. He's from this area. Not going to get over the hump. Yeah. When you, who's he going to throw to? Percy Harvin, if Percy can stay healthy. That's it. Moving on. Number 21, the Jacksonville Jaguars. It took us 21 teams to get to a legit quarterback competition. Does it seem like David Garrard is the only five-year starting NFL who's no more famous or revered than the local JUCO quarterback? It will be interesting to see how the 10th overall pick, Blaine Gabbert, fares. Yet signing Paul Polizzi to a six-year, $42 million deal makes this ranking seem a bit generous. Yeah, David Garrard and that whole situation is kind of an anomaly. Now, again, seeing what we've seen, Blaine Gabbert, he'll get there at some point. Probably won't be this year. Jacksonville's going to go with David Garrard again. That he gives them balance and stability that at least washes some of the question marks associated with Blaine Gabbert right now. Number 20, the Houston Texans. Chalk landing here, up to another team hurt by the lockout. Wade Phillips needs more time to get all of his players used to their new assignments. First-round pick J.J. Watt could make a huge difference as a 3-4 defensive end. Either way, the back four has to get better. Will Jonathan Joseph and Daniel Manning turn the secondary around? I'll tell you right now, I love Daniel Manning. He was great when he was in Chicago. He was great when he was in Carolina. He's not going to turn that around. Certainly not alone. Jonathan Joseph, a good player, serviceable. Not going to turn that around. They're still going to give up big plays. Number 19, the Seattle Seahawks. Wow, T-Jax might surprise all of us, besides Sidney Rice. Seattle needs more than these two players to show improvement over last year's 7-9 record. Getting Brandon Mebane back in the middle of that defense was big, as was adding Zach Miller. Looming large is how much of a factor Marshawn Lynch decides to be. And I like the way this is written, guys. How much Marshawn Lynch decides to be. That is absolutely critical. Lynch is going to be – will he be the back we saw in the playoff game against the Saints, running over people, having almost what many call the play of the year? It doesn't matter. All I know is Tavares Jackson as your quarterback. He gets Sidney Rice, who's his guy that he had in Minnesota to throw to. He's got some talent around him. He's got Lynch in the backfield. Is that O-line going to be good enough to keep him upright? We know he can run. We know he can scramble. But a lot of times things get out of sorts when he starts to run. He's not throw well on the move. So we'll see. Hopefully for the Seattle fans who are very, very, very passionate about their Seahawks, they get something good to come out of that. Number 18, the Oakland Raiders. Going undefeated in the division was pretty damn impressive. It's the 2-8 against everyone else that's not. Losing Nnamdi hurts. Zach Miller hurts. Coach Hugh Jackson could make up the difference, and no. The reality is that at the end of the last season, this was one of the better teams in the National Football League. Yeah, and they've lost way too much talent. I wish the Oakland Raiders could get back on top. I don't think that's going to happen right away. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but stranger things have happened, especially when you play in the West. Number 17, the St. Louis Rams. Sam Bradford is a happy man. Steven Jackson is happy. Everyone loves Josh McDaniels except for Tony Scheffler and Brandon Marshall. Speaking of receivers, is Danny Amendola going to catch 148 five-yard ends? Or will this offense get the ball vertical to big names like Denario Alexander or Brandon Gibson? Maybe Mike Sims-Walker makes a difference. Yeah, name me the top three wide receivers on the Rams. Moving on. Number 16, my vaunted Chicago Bears. For all of the former underachieving Cowboys taking up roster real estate and cap space, was it really worth letting Olin Kruitz go over $500,000? Aside from the Dallas cast-off, the Bears are relying on a number of former top 10 picks with other teams to suddenly shake the bust label off in Chicago. Well, is Roy Williams a bust? Well, he's a Pro Bowler with the Lions, so he certainly didn't have any success in Dallas. Marion Barber, if you watched the game last night, is still running incredibly angry, which is great for your Bears fan. There is a lot to actually be excited about in Chicagoland. But let's roll a little bit north. Number 15 is the Detroit Lions, and they've got a whole lot to be excited for. Lions fans officially can't blame Matt Millen if the team goes 6-10 anymore. It's been 3 years, and Detroit has as much talent now as anyone. Risky move, giving Nick Farley a guaranteed contract, considering his reputation. But you know, if he's even 80% of Ndamukong Suh and Matt Stafford, then they'll be fine. Matt Stafford can start 12 games, 14 games. Yeah, you never know. They got a ton of talent on that squad. Please understand the Lions are going to be much, much better. Are they going to be good enough to beat the Packers this year? You know, those will be some exciting games. Don't be surprised if those are your primetime games late in the day. Again, they're going to be very, very good. Number 14, the Dallas Cowboys. It's tough putting Jerry's boys even this high up, but the truth is Dallas went 5-3 down the stretch, and the three losses were by a total of 7 points. They probably should have gone 7-1. The defections of Roy Williams, Marion Barber, Leonard Davis, Mark Colombo might end up being additions by subtraction. Meanwhile, new acquisitions like Abram Elam should be an upgrade over Alan Ball at safety. Well, all that's very, very true, but you got to put it on the field. I don't know. I think actually the loss of Colombo on the left side or the right, was it right tackle? I know at one point he played right, then I thought he played left with the Cowboys, but I don't know that that's actually a good thing. He was playing really, really well. He was part of the reason they went 5-3. Down that stretch, and again, as stated, you know, they could have easily gone 7-1. But good luck to the Dallas Cowboys and the boys. Not a big Jerry Jones fan, so if Dallas goes 2-14, not shedding a tear here. Number 13, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No Bucs fan can be entirely happy about Barrett Rudd's departure. I'm pretty sure they took it worse than Sabby Piscitelli's exit last year. It will be interesting to see how Raheem Morris's young team responds after the lack of structure during the lockout. Tampa was the best team not to make the playoffs. Much rides on the development of those baby defensive linemen. Can't say that enough. You've got a good quarterback in Freeman. You've got some good balance. You're gonna win games by slowing other teams down. The development of that defensive line is going to be critical. Moving on, number 12, the San Diego Chargers. It'd be easy to swap these two. This being San Diego and say Kansas City. This has to make or break. It's a make or break time for their head coach, North Turner. There's still a lot of talent on this team. Of course, you got Eric Weddle, which he got re-signed, which is huge. Somebody has to help Phillip Rivers out this season. Patrick Creighton, obviously Vincent Jackson, as in someone better than Creighton. Here's looking at you, Ryan Matthews. Matthews just has to stay healthy. All right, the lookalike number 11, the Kansas City Chiefs. Todd Haley is in the NFL's version of the Rangers manager Ron Washington. No two honchos in sports resemble a homeless guy better than Haley and Washington. Still, Haley has done a nice job working in conjunction with Scott Pioli to carve his team, both in his image and that of the Patriots. Don't look for the Chiefs to fall flat, although you never know. Okay, I actually like Matt Castle. I like the Chiefs. Again, if they can run the ball again, they can control tempo, they can get some things done. Number 10. The Baltimore Ravens. How do you figure out Baltimore? Who's going to play opposite the slowing Anquan Boldin? How much does this team miss Todd Heap now? Does Joe Flacco look like Norman Bates? This team needed more than Bernard Pollard this offseason. If it gets any of his questions answered, Baltimore could rocket up the rankings in very, very short order. Again, they're going to hinge everything in Baltimore on defense. Flacco just needs to stay upright and make a few plays. You don't got to put up a lot of points in Baltimore because your defense is going to be decent. Number 9, the New York Giants. The G-men are one club that hasn't gotten any respect. The Matt Dodge punt, Eli Manning's turnovers, Brandon Jacobs' contract, O.C. Manure, everything. Yet Tom Coughlin's bunch still won 10 games a year ago and should have handled the work stoppage better than other clubs. The revamped offensive line is a question mark. The question mark. Okay. Revamped O-lines. Dave Deal. Illinois guy. Siebert. Soybert, depending on how you want to pronounce it. Good guys. I'm not sure how that's going to all work itself out. Hopefully. Okay, that's a group of really good guys that really work hard. If they can stay healthy, they're going to be fine. They got to keep Eli upright. And you got to give him someone to throw to. Smith is gone, so not sure how that's going to play itself out. We're going to hear some new names coming out of the New York Giants organization. Number 8. The Atlanta Falcons, not drinking the Falcons' Kool-Aid just yet. Although the 13-3 finish warrants them being at least in the top 10. Atlanta's lost guard Harvey Dahl in free agency. Michael Turner has trouble staying at 100%. And Julio Jones has done nothing yet except impress us in practice and in one preseason game. If John Abraham starts playing his age, 33, 13-3, and making the playoffs, could be 9-7 and gone fishing. We'll have to wait and see. Of course, you've got Matty Ice back there, so you got something to hang your hat on. Number 7, the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts deserve this spot. If one team could stay above the fray of lockout disunity disorganization, it would have to be these guys. Indy has a system, starting with where it just essentially guaranteed $90 million to Peyton Manning. Now, if recently re-signed Joseph Addai produces this season, the rankings go higher. If not, the aging defense might suffer a little too much time on the field. However, I got a feeling that defense is going to be okay. It's just going to be okay. And maybe okay is all you need to go 12-4 when your quarterback's name is Peyton Manning. We'll see how it works out. Number six, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh's made a Steeler-esque splash in free agency, re-signing Ike Taylor, Willie Colon. I know Willie Colon, not that one, but this one is much bigger. Yeah, that's okay. The formula to success remains unchanged. Draft and retain. I got $10 that say the first-round pick, Cameron Hayward, fits in and contributes down the stretch. Here's hoping Aaron Smith does as well. Triceps, tears, and being 35 are a tough mix. Number five, the New Orleans Saints. The Saints score more than David Duchovny. When that's going to change with the addition of Mark Ingram and the emergence of Jimmy Graham. The key now is defense, which ranked fourth overall last year, got knifed in the playoffs and is without Anthony Hargrove, Remy Ayo, I always butcher this, Ayodele, and Darren Sharper. Again, some of those guys are free agents out there looking for jobs right now. I don't know exactly how the Saints defense, which ranked number four, allowed Seattle to do what they did to them last year, but if they don't fix that defense right now, it's going to happen in the regular season. Number four, Vince Young called them the dream team, but it's got to be done on the field, the Philadelphia Eagles. This team might be calling itself the Heat, but let's hope the Eagles Superman makes a better run in the fourth quarter than Miami Superman. While Mike Vick's Vick will be solid again. Don't expect another 100-plus passer rating. The key for this team will be the play of its weak links, offensive line as usual, and the Stuart Bradley-less linebacker core. Trent Cole will be Trent Cole. The defense will do what it does, and again, you'll have some amazing things to talk about in Philadelphia. However, it just takes the one injury, whether it's to Vick. I would never think that it would come down to the backup of Vince Young getting hurt necessarily. But Mike Vick gets hurt, that's not the same Eagles team. It just isn't. And that's not an indictment of Vince Young. He just hasn't been in the system very long. Trent Cole gets hurt. All of a sudden, those runs suddenly start, those gaping holes start showing up. And Philadelphia, now they're never going to get blown out. They got too much talent for that. But don't be surprised if Philadelphia is a 10-6 or 11-5 squad, even when they're all healthy. And he could easily become 9-7 should injuries start to pile up in that squad. Number three, the New York Jets. The only big-name veteran not linked to the Jets this offseason was Brett Favre. Plaxico Burress fills Braylon Edwards' role on an offense that will probably be dominated by the Sean Green and Dustin Kellers of the world. The Jets will be the Jets. The Jets will be good. Again, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Hopefully this year the Jets get over that hump. Again, it's a good football team. It's well coached. However, there is a mental anguish that seems to happen to them when they get to playoffs. It's not Mark Sanchez. He's going to do the best he can. Again, Santonio Holmes is gone, so such is life. All right, moving on. Number two, the New England Patriots. As if 14-2 wasn't good enough, the addition of a potentially not quite as fat and lazy Albert Haynesworth, as well as a happy Chad Ochocinco and a re-upped Matt Light, make this team very formidable. Per the norm, Stephen Neal's retirement did hurt, as did Tully Bonta-Kane's departure, especially considering the pass rush is not one of the team's strengths. The New England Patriots are going to be fine. You've got a Tom Brady back there. Your defensive line is going to be very, very interesting with Haynesworth and Wilfork in the middle. Ochocinco basically gives another speedster. Again, he's more of a possession guy now. He doesn't have that stride he had some years ago, but Tom will find him. The system will be the system. Belichick will run it well, and the Patriots will still rip off to between 12 and 14 wins and probably dominate the AFC East. But coming in at number one, as if you already didn't know, is last year's NFL Super Bowl champion Green Bay Packers. Overcoming 12 major contributors on the injured reserve to go on to win a Super Bowl is impressive enough. The only major defection was defensive end Colin Jenkins, who, uniquely enough, went to the Eagles, who didn't play half the season last year anyway. His absence is far exceeded by the return of Ryan Grant and JerMichael Finley. Why is everyone so sure Donald Driver's done? I'd still take him over Jordy Nelson. You're going to see Donald Driver. You are. But with Ryan Grant, JerMichael Finley, all back in the mix, Jordy Nelson can do what Jordy Nelson does, which is be the possession guy and run back kicks, give them decent field position, and give the ball to Aaron Rodgers in that offense and let them do what they do. Again, if you've got a coach like Mike McCarthy and talent like Rodgers and those guys, you're going to be just fine. So, no real surprises, at least in the top five there. That is your pre-look into the National Football League at this point. So what have we learned? Well, we know for a fact that The preseason is largely for the fans and largely for owners to basically bank a lot of money so they can start paying some of these fat salaries. That's really what it's about. You're not going to see your stars playing into the second, third, and fourth quarter just yet. You'll start to see that. They'll be stretched out a little bit more next week. You know, for those of you Bear fans, you got to wait till a week from Monday when the Bears play the Giants, and we'll see if Cutler can stay up and not get sacked another 9-10 times. beyond that, you've got the standard fare throughout. You probably won't see a lot of the Tom Brady's, and I thought it was amazing last night. I didn't see Matt Forte touch the field one time for the Bears. Teams are starting to kind of jostle around. They're obviously really, really concerned in a shortened preseason about who's going to get hurt and who's going to be where. So something to consider for those of you as you get ready to start drafting for your fantasy squads as well. Your staples are your staples, okay? Are you looking at Adrian Peterson as your number one running back this year in fantasy? I mean, obviously, it's a great little segue. We'll go right into that. If that's the case, then that's great. Then you should certainly do what you do. I would be mindful that, Minnesota's got some challenges, again, at O-line. So, and we'll see how that plays itself out. Anyway, 15 seconds. We'll back to wrap this puppy up in a minute.
I think we're in a computer game, man. What makes you say that? I don't know. The bartender speaks nothing but gibberish. And we've been drinking these same beers all night, and they're still full.
Yep, that's awesome.
Build your dream bar at ESPNSportsBar.com.
10:52 on your morning. You are listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports with only 7 minutes to go on the show. Wow. That's why it's called the fast 60 minutes, because it does go fast. Well, you've got your 20-plus minutes, guys, of nothing but the National Football League. You guys are homers, man, but that's why I love you, because we're all on the same page. We love the National Football League, and again, every time this show gets into this season, this show becomes something really, really special. Let me get a few shout-outs out of the way right now, okay? For those of you in the south suburbs of the Chicago market, congratulations to all youth football programs going on right now, to the Dalton Bears, to the Richland Park Raiders, to the South Holland Jets, to the Lansing Lions, all these youth football programs. Congratulations on having solid camps and for getting ready. You guys are going to have a lot of fun this year. I know you're teaching fundamentals to all those kids out there. And what we'll do in the next few weeks is we'll have some members of representation from these youth football teams on the show, really just to talk about their programs. Also, some love to the Southside Seahawks. I know that's a new program that Eric Green, who used to play arena football, is part of. It's an amazing thing. That's part of the Snoop Youth Football League that's out here in Chicago now. So. Kudos to those guys as well for putting that together for some of those kids. Again, get your children involved in things going on with the family, with the community. Get them involved in something positive. Keep them active. I'm not going to hate on the video game world because I've had an occasion to play one every now and then. But yeah, an hour, 2 hours in front of a video game is probably not the most healthy thing you can do for your children. Oh, by the way, stop going to fast food joints with your kids because it's simple. Guys, I mean, in a pinch, fine, but let's keep it real, all right? They need fresh fruits, good veggies, and a balanced meal. Mom, dad, whoever, get off your duff, give your kids some good food, make them healthy, strong. We want to see them out there doing whatever they do, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, hockey, lacrosse, whatever it may be. We want to see them out there enjoying life and living life. Also want to give a shout-out to the University of Chicago Medical Systems. I know they take care of a lot of cancer patients at the Dishiswa Cancer Center over there. Much love to everyone over there on that staff and the work that they do there. Just want to give those guys a shout-out and let them know that, the people out here, we appreciate everything you do. We love you guys, and we know that the challenges never cease. For those of you who get behind the V Foundation for Cancer Research every year, join the club. Again, we wish nothing but positives to come out of all these efforts, and we've made some amazing strides. Please understand that all proceeds for the V Foundation go right to research, so it's just amazing. So if I sound a little like now I'm drawing blanks. Dickie V, thank you. If I sound a little like Dickie V, it's only because, again, that's just such an important aspect of who we are and what we do. Anyway, so I'm not sure what you're watching today. Maybe you're watching a little NASCAR. Maybe you're watching the Cubs game. Maybe you're watching some baseball today, wherever you're at in this world. Enjoy your sports day. If you've been blessed enough to look outside, smell the grass, and feel the wind under your toes, and walk on some grass, do some things like that nature, that's a beautiful thing. All right, you've been listening to the Fast 60 Minutes of Sports. My name is Vinny Vore. About 4 minutes left in the show. We're going to wrap this thing up in just a second.
I think we're in a computer game, man. What makes you say that? Well, I don't know. The bartender speaks nothing but gibberish, and we've been drinking these same beers all night, and they're still full.
Yep, that's awesome.
Build your dream bar at ESPNSportsBar.com.
Is that the only promo that's running today? It is? That's hilarious. Okay. All right. Well, who are we giving some love to? Give us love to Pepsi. Have a Pepsi today. All right. Who else? Who are we giving love to? We're giving love. Who gets love today? The hair care product company? Wow. Johnson & Johnson? No kidding. All right. Who else are we giving love to? No. We're giving love to Walgreens. All right, giving love to Walgreens. Look, support your local Walgreens. I mean, most of us have either gotten rubbing alcohol or something from those guys anyway. Who else are we giving love to in these last 3 minutes? Give me a sports person we can give some love to. Love to Brett Favre, who finally said he doesn't have the fire to come back and play anymore. All right, much love to Brett Favre. Stay away from the game. Who else are we giving love to? Tavares Jackson spent time with Brett Favre, and now he's starting in Seattle. All right, good. Who else are we giving love to? Roy Williams, who never got the ring back, right? I'm spending $70,000 for the girl. Who else are we giving love to? All the running backs who play youth football that avoided concussions. Oh, that's bad. That's bad. All right. Who else are we giving love to? We giving love. Let's give some love. Who are we giving love to? Carlos Zambrano. He's got his money. He's the guy that's got a lot of cheese award with no team to play for the next 30 days. That's good. Who else are we giving love to? Derek Lee. All right. Gets moved from the Orioles to the Pirates and hits two home runs against his old team. All right. Who else are we giving love to? Let's give some love out. All of our Facebook fans. All right, cool. And love to all the Facebook fans out there. Over 1,036 Facebook fans for the Fast 60 Minutes of Sports. Who else are we giving some love to? Come on, hit me up here. The Oregon Cheerleading Squad. The Oregon Cheerleading Squad. Why? For just looking that doggone good. I'm not going to say what you said. All right. They're that fine. I'll give you that. All right. How about some love for our armed forces? There you go. Love for the military. Gotta love that. Whether you're Marine, Army, Navy, Air Force, if you're whatever faction of the armed services that you are, we love you. We appreciate you. And obviously, you, the freedoms you fight for are those that we get to basically take for granted every single day. We love you for that. You guys do a job that I can't even fathom. So thank you so much for that. Who else? Anything else? Anyone else? That's it. We done? Can't be done. You know too many people to be done. Can't be done. Who else? Who else are we giving love to? We're giving love to the exterminator for making sure there are no rodents and mice. That's funny. That's hilarious. Okay. Who else? Come on. That's it? No. Come on, man. Give some love to the class of 1981, Galesburg High School. That's right, baby. Mine. 30 years, celebrated a reunion this past month, awfully good, okay? Didn't get to spend as much time with them as I would have loved to because I was traveling, but the fact is, those people, one-of-a-kind set of people, business people, successful, great family people, great foundation, the class of 1981, there's none better. All right, as we start to wind it down, Leona, love you. Vanessa, love you. Can't do it without you. It's my family. Love y'all. My brother-in-law, Chuck, appreciate all the work you're doing around the studio. Awesome, awesome, awesome job. As we wind this thing down, Christian Bush out there in Seattle, Washington, you're a special breed, bruh. Love you to death. Keep doing what you're doing. You make Dad so proud of you. For the rest of y'all, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. And what is that? Oh, that's the menu for lunch. Sweet. All right, we got to rock and roll. Love you. Nothing you can do about it. We'll see you next time on the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports.